With all the immense dignity of which he was capable, employing his again sheathed sword stick with a grand flourish, Doc marched forward to the torture poles. He pulled out his pocket knife and slashed the bonds of first JB, then Jack.
Oh, damn, thanks, Doc. That sure as hell feels good.
What? Took so long?
Fuck that, Jack. Never thought I'd want to kiss that mug of yours, Doc.
Keep your expressions of gratitude in abeyance, John Barrymore. We are not out of the woods yet.
The armorer nodded to the execution squad, which still stood frozen 60 feet away.
Yeah, we are.
Jack got to his feet, reached out a hand to help JB up. They limped together back toward the wag, as Doc stood facing down the mob with sheer presence. Through all this, Raven stood like a clay statue atop the Hummer, arms folded, Marlin jutting at an angle from one hand. As the two freed captives approached, he tossed the long blaster toward JB. Though his hands felt like vast pincushions, the armorer fielded the weapon without dropping it. Raven raised his arms above his head.
People! You know me! I am Raven, uncle to the Holy Child!
The Chichimex gaped at the man.
Mi amigos,
Doc turned grandly on his heel and strode back to the wag. He spoke out of the corner of his mouth.
Shotgun, Jack.
The white-haired youth nodded and took up the defender the older man had left leaning against the Hummer's front left tire. Doc walked to cover the right side of the wag. As he turned back to face the mob, he drew his bulky lama as discreetly as possible and held it down by his trouser leg. As Ryan had bet his life and those of his friends on, the prestige of the Holy Child's uncle and guardian was sufficient to hold the mob back and win him a listen. His speechifying had long since outstripped Ryan's comprehension, but it seemed to be making an impression.
He is displaying oratorical skills of an unlooked-for degree of advancement. Would you like me to translate?
He keeping to the script?
Substantially, yes.
Then no.
Of course, the spell couldn't last. A strapping mutie pushed to the head of the mob. He was broad-shouldered, thick-muscled, with a fist of cartilage for what passed as a face. Ryan had seen him helping supervise the evisceration of the prisoners, and guessed he was one of Nezahualcoyotl's chief enforcers. He raised his massive arms above his head and began to bellow at the crowd, for all the world like a common everyday Deathland Setgoon bullying the masses.
He says, "Do not listen to this traitor. His head and heart have grown soft. He has turned his face from the gods. Only Nezahualcoyotl knows the heart of the Holy Child," so on, so forth.
Right.
Ryan whipped the Mini 14 to his shoulder, centered the mutie's head in the peep rear sight, and squeezed off around. The mutie boss's head popped like a zip. He fell right over backward in the dust, with his arm still rhetorically upflung, and the last convulsive clench of his heart ejaculating blood from his lower jaw and neck stump.
Hijo de puta!
Ryan!
We're not here for debate, Doc.
Surely that was a touch precipitous.
But the Chichimex, having watched the spurting corpse drop with avid interest, had turned their collective eyes back to the small man with the silvered hair who stood atop the wag.
It's results I'm interested in.
Think about it, Doc. Do you really want our fate decided by democratic processes among cannies?
Fuck, Ryan. Wanted that one.
Uh-oh. We got company.
From the street to the right appeared a wedge of big Chichimex carrying blasters and flame-streaming torches. Behind them came several of the blood-drenched men, wearing things that looked like shiny shower caps on their heads. Finally came Nezahualcoyotl himself, stalking more like a big cat than one of his namesakes. Ryan had to admit, the old devil was cool as concrete in Alaska midwinter. He'd not just gathered his chillers around him, but had rounded up torches for them to tote, to make his appearance that much more impressive. JB raised the Marlin.
This one's mine.
No, we can't chill him.
Hey, what's good for the goose?
No, JB. Watch the mob and the main man's hitters. If they look like they're thinking about moving on Raven or us, chill them. But if we drop the wolf, the mob eats us.
JB gave him a hope you know what you're doing frown, but lowered the whip. The Prophet's procession marched into the middle of the open space, which still separated his followers from the interlopers. Turning his back on the wag, he began to address the crowd in a shrill, piercing voice. The bloody men screeched approval and reinforcement at what were apparently key utterances.
Solo yo soy el profeta, enviado por los dioses para ayudar al Santo Niño. Cuervo es un hereje y debe morir.
What's with those crazies?
Ryan held the Mini-14 gingerly, not aimed, but pointed and ready to raise and snap off a shot. This was the tricky point.
Priests. They added little details to the fun. Like cutting one dude's man parts off and shoving them down his throat before they pulled the guts out of him.
By Jove, I believe those are human heart calls they're wearing on their heads. Just as Prescott described the ancient Aztecs as doing.
If you mean a kind of membrane bag your heart comes in, you got that right. Fresh cut.
Cuervo se deshonró a sí mismo al hacer causa común con el infiel que mató al Santo Niño.
What's he saying, Doc?
The expected. He alone is the prophet sent by the gods to aid the Holy Child. Raven is a heretic rebel and must die. He just told them Raven has disgraced himself by making common cause with the very infidel who struck down the Holy Child. He scored points with that one, I very much fear.
The priests began to dance in front of Nezahualcoyotl.
They say, take their hearts to the gods, their blood for the blood of the Holy Child.
First one Chichimec took up the chant, then another. Suddenly the whole mob was chanting along with the capering priests. They began to surge forward.
What is our plan now, Ryan?
Ryan shouldered the Mini-14.
We get ready to die a lot.
The crowd stopped. Silence fell like a 100-ton nuke-proof door. A short figure limped painfully into the glare of bonfire and torches. A large round head propped atop a near spherical body. One pudgy, pasty arm pressed to a poultice taped onto the side of its vast belly.
Mira!
The boy raised the arm that wasn't clutching his gut wound. He pointed a chubby finger at the tall, gaunt figure in the wolf's head. The prophet sensed his luck had just caught the last train for the coast.
Matalo! Slay him!
The big bastard turned and drew on the boy with his Browning autoloading scattergun. Ryan already had the Ruger aimed. He fired three quick shots into the muscle-sheathed ribcage beneath the massive right arm. The mutie went down, trailing blood from nose slits and mouth. Howling like coyotes, the crowd charged. They swarmed up the big torch-bearing guards like soldier ants, tearing and biting. Several of the bodyguards blasted full auto bursts into the crowd. They didn't win them so much as a second. The priests shrieked in terror and turned to run. Most were taken at once, disappeared under flailing limbs. The Chichimecs who had webs seemed to be disregarding them in favor of the equipment nature had gifted them with. A couple of the priests broke away to be hunted through the ville by baying packs of Chichimecs. For a moment, Nezahualcoyotl stood alone, with a sea of humanity and near-humanity surging around him like surf. His eyes blazed forth from a face streaked with other men's blood. For a moment, though, it seemed as if he would repel the horde now lusting, with the Holy Child's guidance for his blood, by sheer force of personality. Then a muzzled mutie leaped on his back and, leaning forward, ripped away the whole of Nezahualcoyotl's right cheek with his fangs. The prophet became the nucleus of a hill of writhing figures. Horrific screams emerged from the midst of it, and jets of blood. Slowly, the mound dwindled toward the hard-packed soil. Then, the struggling ceased. The mob fell back, humans and muties alike, looking as if they had bathed in fresh blood. In the space they had suddenly cleared, nothing remained but a blood-soaked wolf's hide and a crimson-dyed skeleton clothed in a few rags of skin and meat. Ignoring the commotion, Raven had scrambled down from the wag and run to his nephew's side. The Holy Child turned to him, tears streaming down his great pallid moon of a face, and collapsed into the older man's arms. Doc tucked away his lama, took up his sword stick from where he'd leaned it against the wag, and brushed at his coat.
Well, gentlemen, it appears our work here is done.